Good morning. I don't think I did it before, but I'm supposed to introduce myself. I'm Rusty, senior pastor here, and I'm glad we're meeting together, whether it's on campus or many are watching online and then later in the week on demand. We have started this series, and we're looking, in the context of seeing Jesus' story, we're looking at our own. I mentioned this a while back. Becky and I earlier this year went to a funeral for someone. It's not anybody you guys know. It wasn't anyone from here. And we were just attending it, but we knew a good bit about this person. And listening to the eulogy, it struck both of us that it seemed to be talking about someone else. It was a very virtuous, it was glowing, it wasn't what we knew of this person. It had been photoshopped and airbrushed, and some of you know what that's like. You've probably been places like that before. And the question we had was, I wonder what the people that really knew this person and knew other parts of the story, I wonder how they're looking at it. Was it just ignored? Was the inexcusable things that had been done, were they just no big deal? How do you handle that? And then this past Tuesday, I was part of a funeral service at Quantico, and it was entirely different. And with permission, I'm going to read to you the eulogy. It was an adult son. His mom had passed away. And I think this is probably one of the... It's one of the best eulogies I've ever read. It's very short. He says, "My mom wasn't a perfect individual, but she was my mom. Like the rest of us, she was only human and subject to all the flaws that came being a human being. Through thick and thin, mom was there for me and loved me in her own way. And when my back went out and I lost my ability to walk, she was there for me even when things were overwhelming. Then the time came for me to take care of her. And I was there even when things were overwhelming for me too. Before she passed, she held on long enough for me to say goodbye. It hurts to lose my mother, even though I know she had to go one day. However, it's left me wondering, how do I even start to say goodbye to someone who's been with me my whole life?" Not a lot of details in there. No need for it. It's honest. It's real. It invites, if someone wanted to find out more, but then there were people that were there that knew more of the story. There was hurt, there was brokenness, there was love, there was sorrow. It was a mixed bag. I think our tendency, if we're not careful, is to go one extreme or the other, to ignore the bad stuff, or that's all we focus on. Now, and a funeral is not a place to vent or to do all that. It is a time to reflect. And I think this eulogy that Ben wrote is, it's one I'm going to hang on to. Becky and I had a Christian counselor and teacher, author, that was someone we followed a lot. We heard him speak many times, a guy named Larry Crabb. And he made a statement about Christians. He goes, being a Christian means not having to pretend about anything. And with God's help, we can look at honest reality about our lives and circumstances. And we do it, there are two reasons we can do it. One is because he already knows everything. He's completely aware of everything about my life and yours. And the second thing is, even though he's completely aware of it, he still loves us. And he wants a relationship with us in spite of all he knows. Followers of Jesus get this. Regarding what God knows about us, the Bible is very, very clear. I've given you a couple passages here. Psalm 139 says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me." Not most things. Not the ones that really stand out. You know everything about me. Not just surface things. And no matter what I try to do, you're going to know it. It goes on to say, Jeremiah 23 says, "Can anyone hide from me in a secret place?" No. "Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth?" says the Lord. He's completely aware. There's no place that he's in the dark. Some of you have got Ring or Simply Safe doorbells because you've seen the commercials and you want to know if porch pirates are stealing anything so you can say something to them. I don't think it ever happens. I think they steal stuff and then you get to see the video later. But if it were to happen, oh, get off my porch, you knucklehead, or whatever you call those people. I mean, we like it because we think no one can hide. I've got cameras everywhere. We have 72 cameras on our campus here. Smile. But with God, he doesn't need cameras. He is completely aware, and he's not just aware of our actions, he's aware of the attitude and the motive and the intention behind them. He is completely, fully, completely aware of our life. There's nothing he misses. And for us to pretend or hide or ignore that doesn't change the truth. That funeral service painted a virtuous picture of one person, but the photoshopping didn't change reality. I've got a doctor's appointment Thursday for a physical. Now, the doctor's going to ask, they asked me a ton of questions before I even go. You got to fill out all kind of stuff. Now I have to send them my driver's license. Maybe they want to know if I'm legally driving to the, I don't know how it works. But they're going to ask me all kind of questions. I can lie. They can say, does anything hurt? No. I sleep really good at night. I could tell them all kind of stuff. It doesn't change the reality of my health, though. The fact that I've not been honest just means I've not been honest. But it doesn't miraculously make me healthy. The thing with God is he already knows, and I can be honest and open about it with him or not. It's my choice, but it doesn't change the truth. Listen to Psalm 90, verse 8. It says, you spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. I'm not going to ask you, but that can be pretty unnerving to know that everything is in front of God's eyes. He sees it all. Goes on in Luke, Jesus says, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought into the light and made known to all. At the end of our life, in fact, Daniel mentioned this, there's been a time where we're going to meet God face to face, and there's going to be an assessment of our lives. And there won't be anything missed. It'll all be very clear. And recognizing it now is really important. And every once in a while, God does something. He kind of stirs the pot to help us, to kind of urge us toward that, to be honest about it. I'll give you an example. I had a few years back, there was a pastor in the area that, for a variety of reasons, had left the church he was part of and decided he wanted to come on staff here. So he met with me and he says, I'd like to be on staff here. Do you have a job? And I knew enough about him to know that we weren't going to offer him a job. There were some integrity issues. There were some other things. And I was very clear with him. I said, no, I appreciate you asking, but no, there's not a job here for you. And that was it. Had a few meetings later on that day, and when I was driving home, I checked and I had some voicemails because I usually don't answer my phone during meetings. And on my phone, there was a voicemail, and I didn't know who it was at first until I heard his voice, and it was him. We'll call him Eddie because that's not his name. And Eddie was leaving a message, but it wasn't for me. It was actually for his wife. And I've got one of those things where I don't tell my name, so if you call me, it just says some lady says my number and leave a message. Well, I guess he thought he was leaving this message for his wife, and this is what he said. He goes, hey, sweetheart, which I was glad he didn't call me that. He said, just talked to Rusty, and they'd really like to have me on staff, and they're looking for a place for me. I stopped, and I thought, now, I was in that meeting. And I'm pretty sure that's not what was said. But see, he wanted to present something to his wife that was a little different. So I called him back. He didn't pick up. And I left him this message. Eddie, apparently you left a message for your wife on my phone. It sounds to me like we're at two different meetings. Goodbye. He got a chance. He got caught. All of us have had this happen before. You know, we get kind of caught with, oh, yeah, that's me. And I think there are times God does that because he's trying to get our attention to let us see. You know, he already knows everything about us. He wants us to recognize that. Ecclesiastes 12 says, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. the end of our life, we will give an account to our lives. There'll be no mistakes. There'll be nothing missed. There'll be no misremembering on God's part. His judgment will be totally accurate. There is some good news in this, and Daniel alluded to that. I thought what Daniel said was cool. He said, you know, all of us, we're born, and then we're going to die. But if we're born twice, we only die once. Because when we're born the second time, we have a brand new family, a brand new relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven. It's not that they never happened. It's just that they've been forgiven. Facing the truth about ourselves and God opens the door to experience true love and real freedom. And this only comes through Jesus Christ. He can wipe the slate clean. And that's why he came. And he invites all of us to come to him, but to be honest and real about our lives. Listen to what he says here. This is Matthew 11. It's a remarkable invitation. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Every one of us are carrying some kind of load. It may be family expectations. It could be our own. It's a variety of things. None of us are completely independent. And he's saying, make a choice to follow me. And he's describing this idea of carrying a heavy load. There are some of you, some of us here, that are walking around with a huge backpack full of guilt and shame and fear of being found out. There's secret things that have gone on for a long time. Covering up, hoping no one sees. Some of you have moved because you got found out somewhere and you're starting over again. The cover up and trying to pretend it's not there. Some of us spend time numbing ourselves, self-medicating with all kinds of the ways. It could be work, could be drugs, alcohol, whatever we do. But there's a weight that we carry, and the weight remains there. And Jesus is saying, I get it. You don't need to hide. You don't need to pretend. You come to me just as you are. He doesn't say, clean yourself up and come to me. He says, you come to me right now the way you are, and I will give you rest. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us hope. He offers us freedom. And the way we know this, and it's one of the things that distinguishes the Christian faith from any other faith, and that is we can show in time and history that God came for us. When we celebrate Easter in a few weeks, we're remembering that God did for us what we could have never done. He came and became one of us, explained what he was going to do, then sacrificed his life, and then was raised again, proving that everything Jesus said was absolutely trustworthy. We have someone that came to rescue us. He didn't come to condemn and to shame us. He came to confront us with truth and to save us. And the rest that he offers, it came at a high price, but it is freely offered if we'll accept it. You heard it in one of those videos. We just admit we have a need. We believe that Jesus came for that reason, not just to show us a new way, but to open the door for us. And then to choose to accept him and follow him as our Savior and leader. And the key that unlocks all of this, it's not a four-letter word, but we treat it that way, and that's humility. Drop our pride. Stop comparing with others. Stop trying to prove we're somebody. And admit what we really are to the God that knows everything. To ask him for help. It's the best offer you'll ever find. Humility is a choice, though, and it is not easy. It's kind of un-American to be humble. We've kind of built this thing up where we need to have our personal brand needs to be this. The reason we like a lot of these shows is we get to see other people that are worse off than us. Some of you, you're watching some of these shows, you're thinking, man, those people, and inside you're thinking, I'm better than them. But are we? 1 Peter 5, this is a great passage. It'd be worth camping out on for a while. It says, all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Humility is a choice. It's like, I don't see anyone here that didn't get up today or go to bed last night wearing something. You put on clothes. Some of you, just because you just, you know, what's the temperature? I'll just put on whatever. Some of you put a lot of time into it. I want to look a certain way. My image is a certain way. But what he's saying here is humility is a choice I make. It's not that you're born humble. It's just I'm choosing today, just like you put on your clothes, I'm choosing to put on humility in how I treat others, how I treat others around me, and how I treat God. And humility is this idea that I'm not any better than you. In fact, I'm going to treat you as if you're better than me. When it comes to God, that should be pretty easy. He is better than us. When it comes to those around us, I'm making a choice. I'm going to treat you as you're more important, more valuable. You're a priority more than me. All of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to others. And then it comes back and says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I can choose to be arrogant and proud and caught up in myself. But what we sang earlier in the service, Amazing Grace, I will not taste that grace. I can sing it, but I won't know it. Because proud people don't want grace. They don't think they need it. The humble do. Give all your worries and cares to God because he does care for you. When you become part of his family, he accepts everything about us, all our brokenness, all our failures, the good, the bad, all of it. And he treats us as his precious sons and daughters. Pretty remarkable. Facing the truth about my life and all of it. It offers benefits to me, but it also offers benefits to everyone around me. The importance of me being honest before God with my faults and failures and all that, not trying to keep secrets, is it opens the door for this relationship with him. But there's a bigger story than just what I get out of it. I asked the question last week, it was on the take-home sheet, and that is this: why doesn't God take us immediately to heaven when we accept Jesus as our Savior and leader? And you would think, boy, once you get it, come on home. It's got to, yeah, the earth's a mess. And they got an election coming up. Who wants to be there? But he doesn't take us home. He accepts us right where we are, and he keeps us here for the most part. And he's got good reasons for it. He's got work for us to do. 2 Corinthians 5 says this. It says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. It's not completed, but it's begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Our assignment, he has us here as his show and tell. He wants others to see what he can do to a life fully surrendered, a life that is willing to be honest and open and real about our failures and our faults especially, and to let people see what God can do to a life handed over to him. It is encouraging. It is helpful when people see someone changing. I don't know how many of y'all watch. I'm not endorsing this at all. It's a company called Golo. They do. They have all kind of commercials and they show different people and people that have lost 50 to 100 or more pounds, and they'll show the before picture and the after picture. And very few of them are super articulate. It's the nature of an infomercial is that you feel like I can kind of relate to that person. I don't relate to the Hollywood people, but I can relate. That person seems kind of normal. And you're looking at it, I think, man, there might be something for me. Again, I'm not endorsing it. I don't know anything about it. I just know the commercials. We like to be able to see where there's someone who's gone from here to here in a better place. And I think, well, maybe that could happen to me. The reason God leaves us here is he wants people to see what he can do to a surrendered life. Now, that means we ought to live up to it, that we're making some choices, that we're making this humble choice, and we're going to allow him to have his way in our lives. And when we do, while it takes some courage for us to do that and to live our lives openly, we're being watched, and it can provide hope for others. In our small group Wednesday, and I can't give details, we're not allowed to do that, but near the end of group, there were two guys in the group that were singled out, and people said, you know, I really appreciate your honesty. And they had talked about some things a while back that were really rough. And it was a price these two men paid to tell their story. And you could see in the other saying, thank you so much for being honest and showing me that there's hope. Thank you for letting me see where you've been and where you're going. I think God might be able to do that for me too, because now I see it in real life. There's someone here that I know, and I'm seeing it happen. God wants you and I to be living out stories that tell his story, where Jesus becomes the hero, not me. We'll look at more of this in the next couple weeks, but let me close with this. Some of you I know are pretty uncomfortable with this whole thing about being gut-level honest. It is scary because you've tried it before and it got used against you. You missed out on a promotion. You were overlooked, or you were snubbed by your group because people, man, I don't want to be around someone like that. And that's the risk. I've worked in some small towns before where everybody knew everything about everyone, and they loved telling those stories. And people would leave because they were tired of being gossiped about. There's a risk, but there's a greater opportunity. When I come clean, when I'm honest about my life and the struggles and the things where I failed, and then I begin trusting God with that and seeing it, others get to see it too. And while it helps me grow in my faith, it can also be an encouragement to people around. So let me just throw a couple of things out. Some of you have been carrying secrets for a long time. You've had sweaty palms since this whole thing started. Some way in the past, some right now. You know what the weight and the burden is of carrying those secrets? Hoping you don't get discovered. But you also have this sense, something inside saying, what if Jesus is right? What if he really can take it and accept me as I am, warts and all? Not just forgive me, but actually help me rebuild my life. I want to tell you, that's exactly what he wants to do. Just two quick questions. Can you trust him? And I'm going to tell you, the answer for that is a resounding yes. Easter is proof of that. Will you trust him? And that's up to you. What will you do today? Let's pray. God, you know how we're wired and how image to us is pretty important. Some of us want to be really seen as really good. Some of us want to be seen as renegades or rebels. We this whole image thing is, our culture fans the flames of that, but truth is, many times it's just a facade. You know everything about us, and yet you still pursue us. And while you won't force yourself on us, you do persist in trying to get our attention, to help us to see that you are the right person to go to. Our failures and our flaws, our sin, our brokenness can be laid at your feet, and you will help us start to build new lives from the inside out. Become these new creations that we read about in the Bible that you promise. I pray that you would speak to each of us, those of us here that know you, that we would determine that today, right now, we're going to be really, really honest with you. And not just kind of coast, but we're going to allow you to have free access to every area of our lives. And we'll do whatever we can to become more and more like your son, Jesus, in our actions and our attitudes, our motives. And we'll do our best to live our lives out loud where you are the hero of our story. And we'll pray and do our best as your ambassadors to help others find you. And for anyone here that doesn't know you yet, I pray that they would hear your voice and your invitation. Come to me. In Christ's name, amen.